I'm Sukhjinder Singh, and this is SEO in 2024 Additional Insights.
Sukh, what's your additional insight for SEO in 2024?
Yeah, so it's a biggie, but so I'll try to kind of summarize it. So it's obviously trying to appear in SGE, Search Generative Experience, and to basically, in order to do that, to know your audience, cater to their search intents, and to consider EEAT within helpful content, the helpful content system. It's a tricky one because I always try to avoid talking about the best practices of SEO generally when talking about specific things like this. And I always end up talking about the best practices because, and I guess that makes sense because these systems and algorithms and this new technology is supposed to enhance and help us, you know, do the right thing and to produce the content in a way that appeals to users and gets in front of them in the right format to the right users. And so we should be doing SEO best practices all along. Yeah, just talking about SGE, EAT and helpful content, I'm probably going to refer back to best practices, but I'll try to be as specific as possible. Like, for example, with SGE, what I've noticed is so far is that, yeah, you've got to be doing all the standard best practice SEO things like, you know, targeting the topics that you actually have authority and experience in, and obviously producing it in the correct way, the correct format, your technical SEO and your content marketing and link building, etc., so that you're already appearing on page one for certain queries. But with SGE, I've noticed that specifically you need to be a bit more exact match and specific with that topic and the way that you're optimizing it, similarly to, you know, rich snippets and Q&A content and answers. So I noticed that difference straight away and in a lot of the case studies I've seen online as well. So that's the main difference that I saw with this bit of new technology. And with regards to knowing your audience, targeting their search intent, and looking at EEAT and helpful content, to be honest, so I've been doing SEO for 15 years, and I've had the good experience of basically seeing all these different algorithms come into effect, and Google being a bit more open about, you know, what's involved in them and what we need to do, and which is great. And throughout that course, I've kind of maintained that most of the best practice stuff hasn't changed that much, with a few helpful additions, which is mostly Google disclosing, basically, this is what you need to do. You know, we tried to be good at the start by saying with Webmaster Central, you know, this is what you need to do. And the quality rater guidelines and stuff, that's given us a hint of the bigger guidelines that these people use to rate websites. But they've had to be more specific right now. But for me, I feel like I've been doing the right stuff all along, but I'm just adding to it. And, you know, mostly on the technical side, specifically things like SGE and exact match content, I'm playing with that.
Okay, well, what intrigued me the most about your answer was your emphasis of exact match there. So essentially what you're saying there is the importance of delivering a piece of content that's highly relevant for the target keyword phrase, but obviously the audience in mind as well, the intent in mind there as well. Does that mean then that long form blog content of several thousand words trying to cover a whole subject isn't necessarily as effective as it was a few years ago, and that perhaps shorter pieces targeting very specific pieces of intent are more effective in 2024 and beyond?
I think it's a scale. I think there's a place for these shorter, more concise pieces, topical pieces that happen to be showing up or being preferred in the first three recommended snippets on an SGE result versus the longer form stuff. But I think, because I mean, I'm still experimenting with this, but I think it's similar to how Google Chrome users will jump to a place in a long form post as an answer to a question or a rich snippet question specifically. So I think you can also achieve that exact match optimization within Skyscraper long form content.
So it doesn't matter whether it's incorporated in part of a long piece of content or a singular page.
No, I've not found that it matters so far. But then again, it's quite early. I'm doing this using, you know, like VPNs and stuff, you know, with it still rolling out. So for me, the jury's out. But so far, it just tends to be like, you know, the snippet of text within a piece, or whether it's long form or short, tends to work all right.
So let's talk a little bit about how you know your audience, how you define who your audience is, and what they want. So how do you find out who they are, and how do you match your content to meet their intent?
Yeah, it's a tricky one because it's so this is something I've always tried to do, and it interests me quite a lot because it obviously forms a foundation for a good campaign, particularly if you're doing content marketing, for example. The first place that I start is, and I've had to list my thoughts here in notes because I tend to ramble a bit, but looking at your own data, and so your GA, your Search Console, Bing Webmaster Tools, etc. Just looking at kind of the queries that people are using pre-click. And then post-click, if you've got site search, to have a look again at what people are searching for on the website and what they're landing on and how they're engaging, basically, which is important for that data set. And then also talking to the clients and, if you've got salespeople within the organization you're working with, et cetera, anyone that knows their clients inside and out. And it works out really well generally for starting a campaign in the kickoff period where you're establishing, obviously, the relationships and you're getting people on board and getting buy-in from people. That you can later on do some excellent content marketing with. You're picking their brains for ideas and making them advocates, etc. This stage is quite useful in to pick their brains. Okay, who are you talking to? Who tends to convert? What type of, if it's multilingual, etc., different regions, what are these clients like in Europe versus Asia versus the Americas, etc.? How do they engage? Is it more formal? What kind of queries are they using? And so, that's another way that I do it. And then also using third-party data, which I tend to do on the larger campaigns because, with the budget allows that as a freelancer. So looking at survey data, social media listening tools. SEMrush obviously has good competitor SEO data, SimilarWeb as well. I've used that a couple of times. And so, it's owned data, talking to clients and, third-party data, and then building that picture of the personas, job titles, what they're likely to search for, are they technical, non-technical, and then how they fit in that buyer's journey, pre-click and then post-click through the website, and then how to cater to those specific people, which can seem a bit daunting, but when you go through that fact-finding process, which I tie up in a, kickoff conversation, keyword research, and intensive content audit and content marketing strategy, it all comes out nicely, and it's, it's easier than people think. And I think it's really essential, generally speaking, in SEO, as well as, targeting, for the new SGE and helpful content and whatnot.
So when you talked about the importance of having conversations with people like informed salespeople in organizations that understand who their customers are and what they want, I was going to ask you, well, what kind of questions do you ask these salespeople? But then you suggested questions, who are you talking to? How do they convert? How do they engage?
Yeah,
do you also ask these salespeople on their opinions on what content these customers are asking for and where the missing opportunities are?
Yeah, absolutely. So they obviously have quite a lot of content at their disposal with PDFs and whatnot, sell marketing material and stuff. A lot of people have it gated as well, which I try to repackage. So we try to ask them, okay, what are they, throughout that journey, what questions are they asking? What kind of documents are they referencing? What do they need? What does that persona's job title need to then make a decision together, package together to then get that approved by their superiors and stuff? What is that content entailing? And then how can we package that for them on the website? If they are a common persona, like an acquisition manager or something, or a technical person, what kind of technical documentation? Write down to, hey, select from a drop down or whatever. I need technical documentation. I need this documentation. What are the financial benefits of this, etc.? Even if it's offline, try to package it and make it easy as much as possible.
Your answer also reminded me of a book called They Ask You Answer by Marcus Sheridan. And he also encourages, when he's talking to salespeople and organizations, to get them to record the five top questions that customers typically ask and record a video on that so they can use that as part of their follow-up process. Do you get other people within organizations to record content for that organization?
Yeah, I have done a couple of times through interviews and stuff, because that tended to be an easy way to get, answers out of them and in a conversational way. But I've deferred to content writers and marketers to do that because they do it best, I find. And it's a really good technique. I mean, they've done it with me. And, they can then write up a blog post as a result of all of that, for example. So, with a couple of content writers that I've worked with, they've asked, survey questions And, you know, it's a lot of standard content questions in there, as well as specific ones for their role and the type of content we need producing from them. And so that's proved to be a really useful technique in getting that information in an informal way.
So it's one thing using SGE and other analytics tools to analyze what customers are actively looking for and talking to salespeople and organizations. But for search engines, how do you define the optimum opportunities that you need to create content for? Because obviously you can create content for users, but you might be missing opportunities. So how do you try to ensure that you're plugging those gaps and creating content for the optimum opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's good to use tools like, you know, I use SEO Monitor for my keyword tracking, keyword research, SEMrush as well for the same. And then just with those two, I can see for a set of keywords, what positions and what type of positions that those keywords are ranking for. You know, is it rich media or is it just text? Which is a good source of research to figure out, okay, what type of, you know, is it image results that's going to help with the best engagement for this particular type of informational search? Do I need to be producing a bunch of images and videos for this particular topic or in this format versus text results? So that's been a really good place to start. And then also just referring to my, so I've got like a little, you know, table that I use where I've got the buyer's journey through a website versus the types of content that tend to do well in that stage. So like awareness, consideration, convert. So you got, you know, obviously awareness is quite a lot of content, and then you've got consideration specifically and convert things like white papers and those specific documentation for those type of personas that need to package something up where it's not an e-commerce client to kind of get a decision. So the kind of brochure type documentation, and then retention and advocacy, you know, with using things like social media, emails, etc., podcasts and stuff. And so, you know, it's a combination of that data versus the stuff that I kind of already know and try to categorize. But, you know, the danger of that being, you know, not to kind of stick to that script all every time, just to use it as a guide and change it up, depending on the client and the industry.
And where does EAT fit into all of this? Do you methodically go through each piece of content and try to incorporate as many elements of EAT as possible?
As efficiently as possible, yeah. So I kind of get exposure to it in the content audit to kind of figure out, okay, so if we're trying to make sure that there's enough information about authors and the entity and the actual organization, the brand, etc., in terms of, you know, appealing to these different, you know, factors in EAT, then, you know, looking at things like, for example, I'm working with a client recently who's already done a brilliant job of having author bios. So the experts in those particular industries that they cater to, you know, they've got their degrees listed, their qualifications after university, the different forums that they contribute to, their socials and etc. And then they've clearly listed their expertise in the industry. And then they've got blog roles where they've got specific blog titles, not all of which at the moment that relate to the topics that they are experts in. And then so it's my job to figure out, oh, okay, they've got a good bio, but the blog role is 100% match. So maybe if they're an expert in one industry, they shouldn't be talking about another unless it ties in somehow. And so going through that checklist, and then similarly with the brand overall, you know, what is that brand known for? Are they experts in the financial sector? Are they mainly talking about that? Or, you know, are they talking about other industries where they're not as authoritative and they might not be performing as well? And so I've got that whole EAT checklist in the content audit and then kind of ticking off.
I love your example of trying to ensure that you don't confuse search engines by having different types of expertise and bios as well, because I think that SEOs or marketers in general would probably be guilty of adding too much as opposed to having too little. And it's easier sometimes to add new things as opposed to take things out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's on a personal level, it's hard earned on my end, you know, trying to, you know, be an advocate for SEO and thinking, okay, what am I actually good at talking about? What am I actually good at within SEO, and what lane do I need to stay in? And also, it's obviously not hard and fast, and, you know, people are going to talk about different topics, but I guess it's how is that being perceived by Google? You know, maybe the blog title needs to be a bit more accurate to say, okay, I'm talking about this other industry, but it relates back to this industry. And so presenting it in a different way. But yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, it's trying to stay in a lane whilst adding to that, and try not to veer off too much, and having an honest thought about, one of the earliest things that one of my managers told me was about with producing blogs and things was, okay, what are you actually good at talking about? If somebody did a Q&A with you now, at the end of a conference, would you be able to answer questions around this? And if it's no, and then also asking about the audience I'm trying to cater to, you know, who is this content for? And if I couldn't answer that, it'd be like, just go back to the drawing board with this idea and spec it out fully. And so I kind of used that as the basis for this as well. It just kind of comes back to that. And so knowing the audience again, and then also that authoritative topic, you know, what is it that you're actually good at talking about, and try to stick with that. Because then if you do, you just over time get known as the guy, the financial guy, you know, the carriage door guy, whatever. And I think that's what Google wants.
Absolutely. Well, you've shared what SEO should be doing in 2024. Now let's talk about what SEO shouldn't be doing. So what's something that's seductive in terms of time, but ultimately counterproductive? What's something that SEOs shouldn't be doing?
Yeah, I'm referring to a couple of notes because I made this, there's quite a few, and I thought I don't want to talk about the same stuff. So I would have said AI produced content, and not in a bad way. It's just, you know, obviously in a producing lots of long form content and not, you know, adding the human factor to it and editing and making sure the facts are okay and everything like that. I would have said that, but what I keep coming back to is neglecting clients, or rather not keeping up to date with, you know, the satisfaction of your clients and their knowledge about the SEO industry. So basically trying to have regular check-ins with them. So I think it's quite, and I think from my perspective, I hate to say lazy, but it's kind of, it happens, you know, in the churn of working with lots of clients, particularly if you're at an agency and you might miss a few things and a few cues, like a client wasn't happy with this thing, or they don't know where you stand on AI at the moment. Maybe they got some anxiety themselves. Oh, is my agency able to cater to this new technology? Can we catch up? Or I seem to be having the same content ideas and things like that. And so trying to figure out, okay, is my client happy with the current strategy? Am I able to update it based on the industry changes at the moment? And am I communicating effectively to the client all of these changes, what it means to them in a positive way, and how we're going to basically, you know, exploit these changes and improve on things? So it kind of goes back to client relationship management and building and maintaining that, basically, and reassuring them that we're on the right track.
Sujinder Singh is freelance SEO consultant at iDoSEO, and you can find him over at iDoSEO.co.uk. Sujinder, thanks so much for adding your additional insight to SEO in 2024.
Thanks, David. It's a pleasure.
I've been your host, David Bain. You've been listening to an episode of SEO in 2024 Additional Insights, a majestic series that complements the original SEO in 2024 podcast, video series, and book. Find out more at SEOin2024.com.